Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden. Welcome to another episode of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? This is episode 146, and I know I haven't recorded in a while because, as many of you know, June has turned into my escape on a motorcycle month, so I just haven't been on the podcast. I have been on rides and on the bike, and I'll talk about that a little later. Obviously, the biggest story, and tragically the biggest story, is the Orlando shooting at Pulse, the gay nightclub. Omar Mateen, he killed 49 people, wounded 53 more. Just another crazed mass shooting. And I hate to say it, but, and this is just my opinion. Well, it's my podcast. Of course, it's just my opinion. But here we go with the same cycle again. Okay, crazed killer kills mass of people. There's tremendous sadness. The politicians are all outraged. The politicians talk, the reporters talk, talking heads talk, we all talk. Then more guns are sold, and we're on to the next mass killing. One of the most insane things about this one has been the argument of whether or not this is the biggest mass killing in American history. And the winner of that argument, wow, that's crazy, there's a winner. But it all depends on how you define mass killing. They had to change the definition because of the violent history of the United States. We had numerous African Americans shot, but that was done, you know, hundreds killed on a given day at in history, but that was done by groups, you know, or the Native Americans slaughtered, but that was done by the government. So they're saying, well, yeah, they killed more of them in one day, but that doesn't really count because now our mass killings are more focused. See, it's just one person. So the new way we're going to keep score on mass killings is, I guess, if only one person does it, or maybe two, to working together like a Columbine situation. I don't know. I would wonder how many other countries are having that debate. Probably not Australia. Just saying. Now, interesting thing in this particular shooting, and this destroys, well, it never destroys, right? Because the NRA and the right wing will never give up on the argument, but it sure pokes holes in their argument. Well, some bitch, if there was a good guy with a gun, there was a good guy with a gun. He was actually a police officer with a gun who was shooting it out with this guy. So that was there. Then there, well, if we had concealed carry, if everybody, yeah, it's Florida. Do you want to know how easy concealed carry is to get in Florida? I happen to be in Florida right now. I'm doing some shows in Naples this weekend, Off the Hook Comedy in Naples. Come check me out. But anyway, you know when you pull off a highway, there are those signs they stick in the lawn, like you can advertise. It might be a realtor or an exterminator or something. There are signs, and I've seen a few of them. Concealed carry, we come to you. Meaning they'll come to your house and do whatever it takes to get a concealed carry permit in Florida. And I don't think it takes much to get one in Florida. But anyway, those two arguments, shot down, pardon the pun. But it's another example of what's happening to the Republican Party. Why the Republican Party literally is disappearing and falling apart? Because their policies don't work. That very simply, their policies don't work. The policy of no on Obama didn't work. And the, you know, the policies of discrimination and hate and racism and all of that didn't work. And now it's being shown this idea that if everybody carries a gun, everybody will be safe, doesn't work. Plain and simple. So the truth that this, now, background checks didn't work on this one either, because this guy had gone through background checks. He had been suspected as a terrorist. They talk about him being a member of ISIS and radical Islam. From what I'm reading and hearing, it doesn't seem to me, now, again, just me talking, it doesn't seem to me that he was a member of ISIS as much as he wanted to be a member of ISIS or wanted to be seen as a member of ISIS. Remember, this is the culture we live in, where he's checking Facebook and social media while he's killing people to see what's gone viral. So going to these websites and Facebook pages, etc., his contacts with ISIS, etc., it seemed like a lot of wannabe stuff. Horrible wannabe stuff, but wannabe stuff nonetheless. Getting back to the Republican policies, listen, you all know, if you listen to me at all, I'm not a big fan of the media. I think the media has dropped the ball on really pushing people, but when they get an issue they want to push, they can do a good job. Anderson Cooper called out the Attorney General of Florida, Pam Bondi, she talked about, you know, her caring about the LGBT community, blah, blah, blah. And he called her out on it because he said that her policy of fighting against gay marriage, he said, if there hadn't been gay marriage, then you wouldn't be able to notify the love or next of kin or spouses of many of the gay people who were killed. And he also called her out for saying that gay marriage was somehow going to hurt the people of Florida. He kept hammering her on what she said, and she's denying saying it, even though it's in court documents that she said it. It was the official policy. And good for Anderson for calling her out on this. Good for him for calling her out on this tremendous hypocrisy. Listen, I said it, and I love, you know, I love posting this stuff on Facebook then standing back and watching them go crazy. This shooting was confusing for the Republicans, especially the Trump Republicans, because you have a Muslim, right, who killed gays. So which side are they on? You know, or do they just sit back and say, great, do it again? I don't know. Well, yeah, there was a fringe element of churches that said that it was great and do it again. But their hate of both sides, and they came back at me, oh, we don't hate gays, we don't hate the LGBT community. Yes, you do. Because your policies go against their basic rights to live as humans. You're against them getting married. You're against them going to the bathroom. If your policies are against basic human rights for a group of people, that's hate. That's hate against this. It's the same as when black people as slaves were considered less than human. It's the same as the slaughter of Native Americans or whatever. It's hate. Okay, so don't pretend it isn't. And as far as weapons go, I am not a weapons expert. Derek, you're listening. You know that. I've come to you to ask you about these things because you are a person who's into weapons I respect. But I would say in this case, he bought an assault weapon and used it for exactly what it's made to do, kill a mass of humans. That's what it's made to do, and that's what he did with it. And that's a horrible, terrible thing. And it is terrible, and it is tragic. And the biggest tragedy is we're 5 days into the cycle as I record this. I give it another week, and it'll be done. Not in the community, and I don't discount the families, the friends, and people involved whose lives have been shattered. You know, again, I say, this is a thing I can't comprehend, and God bless them for getting through this. Your friend, your brother, your sister, your whatever to you, your lover, your spouse went dancing. That's all. They went dancing. You will never see them again. You'll never hear their voice again. You'll never feel their touch again because they went dancing. And that is the part that I just can't comprehend the shock and the pain and the lack of caring we have as a society to allow this to continue happening over and over. And if you say it's not the guns, you're wrong. because without a gun, he could not have killed this many people. If he had a knife, if he had a sharp stick, he could not have killed this many people. So that argument just doesn't hold water anymore. But at the same time, it won't change. The Onion did two hilarious, sad parodies about this, sarcastic stories, whatever you want to call them. One, they said, in light of mass shooting, NRA rushes out to buy a congressman, which is true. And two, they did an article from the point of view, an editorial, an op-ed, from the point of view of the AR-15, the actual gun, writing and saying, thanking us for caring more about its rights to be a gun than human right to live. And that's where we are. So it is what it is. The politicians, Trump did what Trump does. Trump came out, made the outrageous, ridiculous statements, blamed President Obama for this, because President Obama is easy on terrorism or somehow in league with terrorists or whatever nonsense he said. And, of course, there should be no gun control and we should ban all Muslim immigrants and we should investigate all Muslim citizens and mosques, et cetera, et cetera. He did what Trump does. And more I'm seeing this, I'm learning this. Trump has to have a fight. See, he can't give a speech, he can't make an appearance, he can't say or do anything without there being an opponent. He doesn't speak of policy or vision or any of that. There has to be someone he's fighting. So he's taking on all these different groups, right? Mainly the Muslims, but also President Obama, blah, blah, blah. And it so backfired. His party leadership backed away from him again, Ryan McConnell and all the established Republicans, because he's talking about banning a group of people based on a religion. You know, here in the United States, where we have the First Amendment, that one's ahead of the Second Amendment. It's the first one, you know, about that whole right to free speech and your religious freedom and so on. But they spoke out against him. Barack Obama, as he always does, eloquently took him apart piece by piece, line by line, and Hillary Clinton gave a speech, and she spoke out against Trump and this, and now Trump's latest fight is with the leadership of the Republican Party. He always has to have somebody, so now he's like, if they won't support me, I'll go it alone, and blah, blah, blah. His approval amongst Republicans is down to 32%. He's not bragging about his numbers anymore. Normally he does, but he's not bragging about his numbers. And, you know, Hillary Clinton's numbers aren't that great, but she did mention two words that you should never mention as a politician in the United States, gun control. But I still maintain that Hillary Clinton is the most qualified candidate, and that the negativity against her is because of her lack of the ability to be a dynamic, charismatic speaker. She has policy, she has ideas, et cetera, but she is not charismatic. She does not pull that off, and a lot of the low approval rating is because if she was a more charismatic person, then these decades-old fights against her and blah, blah, blah would all go away. But, I'll say it is what it is. Florida, I'm here. Man, you guys have had a tough week. From Christina Grime, the singer from The Voice, who was killed by a man named Kevin James Loibel, who was an obsessed fan. Then 49 people killed in Orlando. And then a two-year-old boy attacked and drowned by an alligator at a Disney Lagoon. Man, this has been a hell of a week, Florida. I'm sorry for you. I remember the what happened with Florida. Remember when Florida and crazy news was just fun? You used to be fun, crazy Florida. This week you're tragic, and I feel for you. And it's going to be a tough weekend on stage with all this going on. Talking to new friend, Devin Diebold, who's opening for me tonight. Very funny comic from here in Orlando, from Orlando, as a matter of fact. But anyway, we were talking about the fact that this is when comics, I guess our job is to provide relief because people are hurting and there's no jokes to be made about these topics directly. So, you know, we'll do it. I'm not a hero. I'm a comic. But that I don't know. I could talk more about this mass shooting and initially I posted it was too tragic for politics, but of course that only lasted a day. The next day I had to post about the we're not sure who to hate more, Muslims or gays. By the way, I think it's Muslims. I think they decided. I don't know when they had the meeting. And now the talking heads are at it and the circle's going round and round. So, yeah, that's it. That's it. I wish I didn't have to talk about this, but I do. Getting back to, and much less important, me and what's going on with me. Yeah, June is always when I do a big motorcycle event called Americade, and I do a ride. This year, I shipped my bike to the East Coast, and after Americade this past Sunday, I decided I was going to ride. I was going to do Skyline Drive and the Blue Ridge Mountain Parkway. And if you're a vehicle enthusiast or if you know anything about the East Coast, these this beautiful roads, historic and supposed to be, you know, they were on my bucket list. So I rode through New York, New Jersey, Maryland. Ugh. I mean, ugh. Man, battling traffic and tolls and all of that. It was a hell ride, but I did it. The Skyline Drive and Blue Ridge Mountain Parkway, if you are in Virginia or North Carolina, make the detour, at least drive a few miles. I drove the full Skyline Drive and about 100 miles of the Blue Ridge Mountain Parkway. Stunning, beautiful. The rolling hills, the green all around, deer, wildlife, you know, it was just amazing and so beautiful. And the saddest part, when I finished my ride, which was in just outside of Roanoke, Virginia, I was on my way to the hotel to spend the night and just zooming right through the main street of the little town I was in where my hotel was, a pickup truck with two giant Confederate flags flying out the back. And I am reminded that it is the South and I am not welcome here. So that was the bad end to a beautiful ride. Then I went back up, and I'm going to be up in Vermont on another ride next week. So very quickly, there were a few other stories prior to this horrific shooting that I wanted to talk about in my podcast. And they are the Republicans, because again, you guys, as if Republicans are listening to my podcast, but the policies don't work. So here, I read an article in the LA Times. As we know, Republicans, red states, turned down Obamacare, okay? Well, one of the problems that we all know about the opiate epidemic, the heroin epidemic, the addiction epidemic that's going on. Well, there are a lot of poor patients in a lot of poor states that can't go to rehab or get any kind of treatment because their government turned down Obamacare. That's right. They don't have a way to pay for their treatment. 19 states, all with Republican governors or legislators, rejected federal aid to expand Medicaid eligibility, effectively making coverage available only to poor children, pregnant women, and seniors. And Dr. Joe Parks, director of the state of Missouri's Medicaid programs, the only way to get treatment if you're addicted to drugs in Missouri is to get pregnant. So many states, it's the same thing. States that do have Obamacare, like Maryland, including the city of Baltimore, because I'm Dr. Yingvild Olson, medical director at the Institute of Behavioral Resources, which is a treatment center in Baltimore, said expanding Medicaid hasn't removed all the obstacles to patients getting care. We will always have to turn people away, but it really helps. bit, you know. More patients are coming in who wouldn't have tried to quit because it was so difficult to get in a program. Patients have more options, et cetera, et cetera. Massachusetts, another state, Dr. Sarah Wakeman, who runs a substance abuse program at a hospital, before medications were just prohibitively expensive, and today nearly half the patients who come through their program are on Medicaid, which often provides better coverage for addiction medications and some private health plans. The point being that you want to battle this heroin addiction and this Oxycontin addiction and this opiate addiction, it's going to cost money. And the money comes from healthcare plans. But that Obama can keep his government out of my Medicare. Boom. There you have it. That logic stops progress. But again, your whole thing isn't working. This one, and I love, you know, those red states that don't want transgender bathrooms. You know what they do like? Transgender porn. Yeah, X-Hamster, which is a big, X-Hamster.com, a big porn website, said that, and I'm looking for it, so forgive me, but okay, not that transgender porn fans should be shamed, but you have to imagine, this is from the article, that at least some of those are some of the transgender porn fans are viewers by, are, I'm going to try that again and say it in English. They said some of these viewers are fans by night but bigots by day. Okay, now these are the states that are leaders in viewing transgender porn. Alabama, Georgia, Louisiana, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, West Virginia, and Wisconsin. Leading the 11 states in category views and searches was the great state of Texas. I love it. In May 2016... viewers from Texas have viewed the trans category 1,640,050 times and searched for trans porn 105,000 times. The same users also uploaded 881 new trans videos. Tennessee, 415,000 views of the transgender category, 23,000 searches, etc., etc. Oh, well. I guess they don't really want transgender people in the bathroom because it's too much of a temptation for them. On the same topic, and I meant to talk about this in my last podcast because I love this one. So let's talk about Brittany Benz, B-E-N-D-Z. Brittany Benz is a transgender porn star escort who also happens to be an MIT grad. And she works in the Washington, D.C. area, and she protects her clients' identities. She's a huge hit with politicians, lawyers, and other members of the United States government. Okay, so they talked about her. They did an interview at the Daily Beast. One of the questions, do you ever meet with politicians in D.C.? I have three congressmen, people from the World Bank, and people from the Pentagon. I think I've penetrated every major institution except for the White House. That these are Brittany's words, not mine. question. So are you converting Republican congressmen? She laughs. Oh, no. As a matter of fact, I heard one of them the other day arguing against the transgender bathroom issue. Question, given your relationship with the congressman, how did you feel about that? Brittany's response, I expect them to toe their party line. I did send him a text. Wow, you're getting kind of ballsy, aren't you? And he replied, yeah, I'm sorry. It's just what they need me to say. I heard you, the question, I heard you specialize in S&M. Is that something your more conservative patrons ask for? Response, definitely. One of the congressmen I see really loves it. Does that surprise you? It doesn't surprise me at all. The reason I think trans girls and BDSM have become bedfellows, if you pardon the pun, and again, this is it coming for Brittany. If the core aspect of BDSM is humiliation, what's more humiliating than being forced to suck a cock? Especially if you're someone like that. If you're a member of Congress or on a committee, you might feel the need to really be filthy and humiliated. It's beautiful, beautiful. So once again, those at the top, the most powerful, are the biggest hypocrites. And that's coming from an escort who they hire. So again, Republican Party, your policies, they just don't work. Sorry, that's just how it is. Now, with all this going on, and there's a lot of bad going on, mass murder, hypocritical politicians, blah, blah, blah. If you want, and it's, of course, it's closer for me because I love motorcycles, but there's a beautiful picture that you may or may not have seen on the internet. And Kim Stone took this picture and she put it up, and what the picture is, it's a newborn baby, and the baby's caressed in empty motorcycle gloves with the helmet behind him, and it says that she'll never get to meet her dad. Her dad, Hector Ferrer, was killed unrelated to motorcycles or anything else, but he was killed a month before the baby was born, and the baby's mother posted this picture, and it said her daddy loved motorcycles. He always wore protective gear. It's impossible for me to describe this picture, but the baby's smiling, and they said that when babies sleep, they're talking to angels, and it's a beautiful thing. And only reason I want to close on that is, yeah, maybe there's still hope for us. I don't know. I'm not going to go any farther. This picture, when they say a picture's worth 1,000 words, look up this picture, okay? It's on KimStonePhotography.com or Kim Stone on Facebook or Baby with Motorcycle Gloves. I don't have to tell you how to do a search. You know how to do that, especially if you're in Texas or Alabama. You know how to do a search, don't you? It's Alonzo Bowden asking, who's paying attention? As I said, I'm at the Off the Hook Comedy Club in Naples this weekend. Next weekend, I'll be doing an episode of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. We're recording up in Portland. It's going to be great. And the end of June, last weekend of June, weekend of July 4th, I'm going to be at the Punchline in Atlanta. So thanks for listening. That's it. Good luck. God bless.